moment that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
The cult of personality. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cult of personality. Like Mussolini and Kennedy. I'm the cult of personality. The cult of personality, the cult of personality. Hello, everybody. It is November the 12th, 2024. It's a Tuesday. It's the Lynn Ortel and Fakeologist show. I said I was going to take the week off. It might have to be next week because my workplace schedule may be changing for next week. This is Black Friday month, where the business I'm in supposedly gets busy. It hasn't been busy all year. I really don't think it's going to be that busy here on the North Shore of Lake Unterrible. But speaking of Black, this is Living Color and Cult of Personality. And Lynn Ortel, who's joining us tonight, said this really should be our national anthem. Lynn, what do you mean by that?
Well, it, from both sides. In other words, these people.
And by the way, thanks for pinch hitting. You thought I'd be off this week. I did imply that, but I, you know what? I've been watching YouTube for the last couple of days, and it's starting to really get me down. I don't know why. It's sort of like taking the YouTube drug. Now I'm burning out on it. Just watching all these people. These YouTubers that interview Americans, and I'm watching old stuff from the border, and it's really bumming me out.
Yeah, I watched a video from Melissa Dykes. You might have seen it.
Yes, I love her.
That about Scientific American, the editor of Scientific American, freaking out and putting out some tweet about fascists and I don't know, Hitler or whatever. And then coming back and apologizing, and then, and, you know, I've always known Scientific American was full of shit because they, you know, they
Scientism fully, America.
What's that?
Scientism America,
yeah,
should be called.
It. Yeah, that's it. Scientism America, which is to say, science propagated as a religion, rather than what it was originally supposed to be. But,
and you're talking about TrueStream Media. I support them. Everyone should support them. They're fantastic. I know that she comes from the Alex Jones world, but she's so... I guess I watched this rant here that you're talking about.
Yeah, her rant. She calls it a rant.
Yeah.
Because how else can you react to something like that? Scientific American, for Christ's sake. Come on! It's supposed to be objective. It's supposed to be cold. It's supposed to be uninvolved in politics.
Yeah.
You know, but it was always that way. It's, you know what it is? This is the season of reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And
the apocalypse?
Well, not in such a dramatic sense, but it is an unveiling, though. You know, you get to see the rotting corpse of legacy media. And that's what Scientific American is now. It's just another... New York Times, Washington Post, you know, LA Times, just more CNN. It's more legacy media.
Yeah. It's just disintegrating before our eyes, and I couldn't be happier. I even heard that that awful liberal shill, Chris Wallace, he's 77 years old, and now he's quitting CNN. He's going to go and follow in Tucker Carlson's footprints into the podcast independent media world or whatever.
He'll fly. He's awful. He's boring as hell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's related to Mike Wallace.
Well, yeah, but right. Mike Wallace's son, so that's why he got the job.
I kind of liked 60 Minutes back in the day. I like Mike Wallace, so that's how old I am. I come from that camp.
CBS.
I used to like 60 Minutes.
Cult of personality. Also, what people have to remember is that there is the inverse of the cult of personality, which is it's also a cult of personality to see Donald Trump as demonic and to hate him with a spiritual intensity. It's, as you say, you're fond of pointing out that the opposite of love is not hate, but disinterest.
Yes, indifference. Yes, apathy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apathy. But in this case, we're seeing the cult of personality on both sides. We're seeing it from the Trump lovers and the Trump haters, and the Trump haters are obsessed with him. If they didn't have Donald Trump, what else would they have? You know?
Well, so, without Donald Trump, politics is unbearably boring. Let's be honest. Nobody cares about their local congressmen. Nobody cares about their state legislature.
Right.
But their governor, that kind of thing. It's extremely boring. And Trump has really perked it up. Absolutely.
Well, but he polarizes people. He really does. And some people like that. Some people find it entertaining and amusing. I'm amused by it at times, certainly. But I don't see this. People, every time he turns around and breaks a promise.
I heard a guy on a podcast today. He was just a normal liberal Canadian. He was saying the media always says this is the most fractured, polarized election/America we've ever seen. And he made a great point. He said the media actually specializes in creating all these subgroups. They subdivide the population ad infinitum.
Yeah, divide and rule, of course. Yeah.
So blacks, whites, gays, lesbians, trans, transphobes, they fracture society in an infinite number of ways. So how can you say America is organically polarized and divided when it's the media that actually does the dividing for people?
But you've got to admit that Trump
draws a reaction.
Yeah, the way he phrases, you know, he could say the same thing in terms of policy.
He punks people.
He triggers. Punker. He loves triggering people.
That's his job. And that's why his opponents can't compete, because he's playing a different game.
Right. Well, he's playing the WWE game, and unless they're WWE performers, they don't know how to play that game. That's kayfabe and cosplay.
They literally should engage him on his own terms, and they might have some success. But because they're the stiff politicians of yesteryear, and he's playing WWE, which is what half the population at least likes, because that's what they grew up on. They like him just for that. They don't care what he says.
Yeah. He says, I'm for red flag laws. Hey, they don't care.
Yeah, I'm for digital IDs because we're going to crack down on the migrants. You're just going to have to use your face to get on a domestic flight.
Right.
You're okay with that, aren't you? You don't want those illegals running.
If you'd have reelected me, you would have all gotten that shot without complaining.
That's right.
If it was me as president, we wouldn't have had anybody objecting to that vaccine.
You would have had the Trump vaccine, not the Biden vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's playing a different game. He's playing a different game.
Yeah. But they laugh at us. They laugh at us. And that's the key to Trump on 9/11. Mm-hmm. Getting on the phone while it was all going down that very morning and saying, well, you know, whoever he was talking to, now that the towers have fallen, my tower is the tallest building in Manhattan.
I know, that was funny.
Yeah, he was in on it. He had to know. He had to know.
Of course.
Now, just a few moments ago, Donald Trump passed through here, so we had a minute to talk with him. Let's roll that tape. You can see what he had to say.
Well, I've never seen anything like it. I've seen two huge 110-story buildings that are reduced to rubble, thousands and thousands of lives. I just got to see something that I've never seen before. I have hundreds of men inside working right now, and we're bringing down another 125 in a little while, and they've never done work like this before. And they're hardworking people, but they've never seen anything like it, and they've never done work like this before. It's terrible.
Tell me what it's like at Ground Zero. Tell me about the workers that you saw and what they're doing there.
Well, not only is it devastation, but it's very dangerous because every few minutes a whistle would go off and everybody would just run because you have all the buildings around it, which are insane.
Have you ever noticed that Trump has this upper lip that curls? Who else had a little small mouth with a lip that curled like that when he spoke?
I don't know. W maybe?
Elvis.
Oh, Elvis?
Yeah, it's kind of like a sneer. I'm seeing
it's a
that.
Sneer.
It's a like sneer. A sneer.
Yeah.
Let me just see. What would the best interview to compare be? Did Elvis speak at the White House with Nixon?
I don't know if he, I don't think he gave an interview, but there are interviews with Elvis out there. But why do you want to compare him to Elvis? Like, you know,
it's just the mouth. There's
so,
just something strange about
Mr. President.
Guy.
To attend to the president
it's
that
just,
he had
just
president.
The way he
first
mouth
he had
moves.
A gift he would like to present
like,
to him
just,
personally
I
but if Nixon couldn't
it.
Accept it he would also be happy for the
I just
called the
well I was never in the cult in the Elvis cult of personality the way so many other people were.
I'm not either, but I'm still fascinated by it.
I mean, I knew, hey, when I worked I worked for an insurance company USF&G in the early 1980s. And there was a woman there who styled her hair like Elvis. That's how much she worshipped. You can see it.
Mr. Vernon Presley, Elvis Presley's father.
Detainer from the 50s and for that matter, the 60s as well.
What? I take vitamin E.
I don't know. Hold on a kid. I don't know. I just embarrassed myself, man. I don't know, dear. I enjoy the business. I like what I'm doing.
On the press corps, that you really are a shy, humble, wonderful human being. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I don't know what makes them think that. This gold belt and the.
Anyway, I just these two people with their curled little lip.
Oh, and so they just have to take off, and then they come back, and they're working under 50-story buildings that you don't know if they're going to fall down. So. It's a terrible thing for the workers, and it's a terrible thing for the world, really.
How have you spoken to any of your men? Do you know how they're reacting to this?
Is this guy made for TV or what? I tell you.
Well, yeah. I mean, we went through his years of study with Roy Cohn. Did we go through that? The Cult of Yehuda.
I don't think so, did we?
Oh, I may have done that on Gemma's show.
Oh, did you on Gemma? You're doing so many shows.
Yeah, Donald Trump spent years basically as an apprentice to Roy Cohn, mob lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lawyer for the Gambino and the Genovese families in New York. And Roy Cohn ended up dying of AIDS and was disbarred for cheating clients. Just a really low-life character.
Right, I remember Roy Cohn, yeah.
Yeah, that's who Donald Trump studied politics with, was Roy Cohn.
Gematria 101 says, my father was an Elvis impersonator. People go nuts. Oh, yeah, I believe it. David Pecker said it's female. Yeah, I know. I get made fun of when I just throw it out there that Trump has feminine qualities with the little pucker lips and cute face. I'm just throwing it out there because we talk about androgyny all the time. And if you want your androgyny fix this Thursday, Mr. E is coming back. He's got some good stuff out there. Just food for thought, farce values in the house. And I know you don't think anything of the celebrity androgyny.
No, not necessarily.
I meant farce value. He poo-poos it. He thinks it's nuts.
Oh.
But what
my whole thing is strategic.
What do you think?
I don't feel like wasting energy on low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
We have this discussion about Brooke Shields, right?
Yeah, we may have talked
about it. Yeah, there was this back of, oh, Brooke Shields... You know, obviously they took her as a child. They did this and they did that. And I got into it with a crowd and they were really going on about Brooke Shields. I said, well, if that's the case, she's a victim. Why are you picking on a victim?
Oh, yeah, you said that. I remember.
Yeah, so I said, the ones you ought to be going at are ones that are in positions of influence, delving into politics and trying to, like, Brigitte Macron, the wife of... Emmanuel Macron, the president of France.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
or Michelle, or if you could, Michelle Obama, if you can make the case against Michelle Obama.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I agree.
Right. But, you know, there, that's what you call a high value target. But Brooke Shields is low hanging fruit. Like, who cares?
Well, she was the most famous person in the world for a while.
Well, you know, so she did a Calvin Klein jeans commercial.
Oh, plus that Blue Lagoon movie, all that kind of
stuff. Yeah, so why are people, I mean.
Suzanne Ann says Trump has women's hips. Yeah, well. And by the way, if you want to hear a good interview, Farce Value was interviewed by John the Bond at johnthebond.com. First hour is free. All that is at fakeologist.com/blog or fake.
I listened to that interview. It had some interesting observations about left wing politics, the hippie counterculture, and how that was used to discredit anti-war politics.
Yeah, I got to give you credit, Lynn. You do your research. You do listen to just about everything we put out. So good on you.
I got a lot of time on my hands.
I know, but it's how you decide to choose to listen in on all this stuff. It's really quite impressive. So I'm impressed that you keep up. So well done on you. Farce Value is a regular on our audio chats, which is where we spend hours and hours talking with each other on the weekends. I think you've joined before, Lynn.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I have or not. I may have once or twice.
Well, if you're bored on the weekend mornings, come on in.
And yeah, as long as it's not, I don't know, as long as it's not Rollo getting drunk again.
No, he's not always there. Okay, what do you got on your screen there?
Well, here's the important part about 9/11 and Donald Trump and how it just keeps coming back and coming back.
All right, I'm glad you're keeping 9/11 alive. So good. Play it. Hit it.
Well, this is Howard Lutnick.
Simon's favorite.
Yeah, and this is the guy who Trump has announced will be helping him recruit his cabinet. This is going to be his top advisor.
I can't believe it. I thought this guy was going to go away.
Yeah, you think this guy would be retired by now, but he's a top actor.
Oh, it's so depressing. The swamp creatures are coming back.
They're all coming out. So, I mean,
oh, it's a new swamp.
Yeah. That's all Trump is going to do is hire us. He'll hire one or two token, you know, token dissenters maybe and stick them in positions where they can't do anything. But,
oh, by the way, Kevin Waring says, look at Trump's parents. They look like vampires. Do we even believe these are really his parents? I have problems.
I don't know. I saw a video today where someone said that Elon Musk's father had been accused of pedophilia. I was completely unaware of that.
Well, okay. They're going to drag everything out that they can. Show me Trump's parents. I'm using AI, just playing with it to look stuff up.
Seems like Trump has been bankrupt so many times, and he always gets bailed out. He's been bailed out by George Soros. He's been bailed out by the Rothschild Bank. That's the Wilbur, the Rothschild banker who Trump appointed as Secretary of Commerce, I think. Trump has been bailed out of bankruptcy over and over again. This guy, Lutnick, he still is the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald. He claims they lost in excess of 600 people on 9/11. Listen, you want to watch this interview and see how convincing, because what I like people to do is say, rate it. How convincing is he? Does he betray evidence of duping delight? Does he slip into giggling? So watch him and see what happens.
Of the 1,000 Cantor employees at the Trade Center, only 300 are accounted for at this time, and none was at the building at that time. This immense human loss has truly devastated the chairman and CEO, Howard Lutnick, whose own brother is missing and presumed dead. You have suffered such great professional and personal loss. What is the fate of your brother?
Well, my brother was on the 103rd floor. He worked for me, and He worked at Canner, and he called my sister just after the plane hit, and he told her that he said that the smoke was pouring in. He was stuck in a corner office. There was no way out, and the
yeah. Did you pause it? Make sure you unmute or open up your mic. Unmute your mic.
Do we see any tears yet, people?
No. This guy is. It's almost.
Now watch what happens. We do get a smile though. Check it out. Watch what happens in this interview.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it.
The smoke was coming in. And he's not good, and things are not good, and he's not going to make it. And he just wanted to say that he loved her, and he wanted to say goodbye, and tell her when that he loved them. And then the phone went dead. So while I'm the head of the company, I'm trying to help my 700 employees who are missing their loved ones. I'm just another one of them. Just another one of them.
Normally, you would have been in your office on which floor?
105th floor.
On the 105th floor. And yet, you didn't go in early that morning. Because of a critical decision you made.
Okay.
God! Look at that face!
Yeah, it's a big joke because he's reliving his dodge from death, just like everyone else of significance.
Yeah, he's smiling at it. Look at that. Look at that. Yeah. It's so crazy.
I have a 5-year-old, and it was his first day of kindergarten at Horace Mann. So I took him for his first day of big boy school.
You can change your mood on a dime.
Because of that, I was late getting down to the office, and therefore I wasn't in the building. I was on my way to the building instead.
And when you got to the building?
Well, I saw the building on fire, so I didn't go in. But I stood at the door off of Church Street. There were flags there, and I stood at that door, and people were coming out, and I was yelling at them, to run and get out. And there were police sort of around me, yelling at people, telling me to get out. And I would ask them what floor they were coming from. And someone would say 55, and I'd scream, "We have 55!" And because I kept wanting to get up the building and get people out of the building.
Because all your employees were on
101 to 105, the top floors of number one World Trade Center, which they call now the North Tower.
So how high was the highest number that you got to?
I got to the 91st floor, and I knew if I got one employee,
one person
came down from that floor, then I know that there had to be others. There would be others behind them. There would be others going out other doors that would be good. But I got up to 91, and then I heard this sound. It sounded like another plane was going to hit the building. But it didn't sound like it was far away. It sounded like it was...
Oh, boy. Is that enough for him? That's enough for me.
I can only take so much of this because he's so phony. He's so fake.
Oh, so you're saying that he's on the advisory panel?
Oh, he's the guy. He's Trump has announced Susie Wiles as his chief of staff.
Right, mystery transvestigating her,
advisor and all that. But
oh yeah, is
going to be the Wall Street advisor who tells Trump how to staff his cabinet. So after all these years, here.
He's being revived.
Yeah.
Hey, take a look at this family photo. Is this real? I always kind of like Marla Maples, but look at on the left here. Just, I don't know. Is that the worst toupee ever? Or does a hairline like that come about naturally? Can you see that, Lynn?
Yeah. Who's that on the extreme left?
That's Trump's father, Fred. Oh.
Really?
Yeah, this is like an Adams Family picture. The Trump dynasty. Anyway, that's...
Marla Maples was his second wife. Is that right?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mr. E deconstructed Trump's first election, which is his White House chief of staff. Yeah, Mike D, the Adams Family, exactly. Anyway, it's going to be another very entertaining 4 years. But just telling everyone what I've been doing all week, I've been on YouTube watching Nick Shirley, Nick Johnson, and Peter Santinello and I've really been kind of binging on the border videos. And Peter Santinello has been at the border for the last 3 years or so, going back and forth. And it's just very interesting, let's put it that way, since immigration, I think, is the number one issue in the United States. Would you agree with that, Lynn?
Yeah, I guess it has. Well, I thought inflation, the price of gas and the price of eggs and bread, you know, I thought inflation was the number one. But the border's close behind, certainly. And in some places, people are so overwhelmed with the demand on local resources that, it's the border. It's the
And the best part about, this is Peter Santinello. And there's something about him that rubs me the wrong way, but it's okay. Here is his U.S. border series. I'll put a link to it. It's a good playlist. The reason I enjoy it is because the only people that seem to be able to talk openly are the sheriffs. And I don't think most non-Americans understand the role of the sheriff. Can you explain what the role of the sheriff is, how they get to be? I understand they're the most powerful elected official in any county.
The sheriff is supposed to be independent.
Uh-huh.
And the sheriff is supposed to interpret the state constitution and the federal constitution directly in the application of law. He doesn't answer to any other bureaucracy. He is his
own love attorney. That. I love that about the U.S.
But of course, sheriffs can be corrupt too.
Can be corrupted.
Yeah, the best example is that Riverside, California sheriff and his deputies.
Okay.
Who clearly were in on this fake assassination attempt.
Oh.
Allegedly. Right. It wasn't anything at all. Actually, it wasn't an assassination attempt at all. This was that guy that drove up and apparently he was stopped by the sheriff's deputies. And he said, I happen to have two firearms locked in the trunk of my car. And they transformed that into an assassination. You remember how all that went down? It's all forgotten now, but that's a corrupt sheriff and corrupt deputies.
So by corrupt, you mean they're going along with the...
It isn't just that. He's spending his time getting up on the rostrum and campaigning for Trump. I couldn't believe it. I tuned in a Trump rally there in Riverside, California, and there was a sheriff up there making a speech.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, there's people in Riverside, California, whose cars are being jacked. All kinds of stuff's going on. But he and his deputies are busy campaigning for Trump and completely fabricating a fictional assassination attempt. Of course, they've been sued, I understand, for...
When was this?
We talked about Van Miller, didn't we?
No. When was this?
This was his last... One of his last rallies in Riverside, California.
Okay, I did not know about this. Okay.
Well, there's a guy named Ven Miller, who I think came out of Nevada.
Ven Miller, who's he?
V-E-N-N Miller, I think his name is. And he's suing a Trump supporter, a MAGA Trump supporter. But also, I think also he might be one of these guys that's got the special license plate, sovereign license plate, you know. There's an interview with him you can watch.
Okay. Sorry, I don't know anything about
right
it.
Here.
So yes. This is the sheriff.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Okay.
Hey, it's Pete Gustis here with the Small Business Resource Center and the Small Business Resource Center YouTube channel. Today I'm going to be interviewing Vem Miller, who's been falsely accused of being a would-be assassin at the Coachella rally in California, October 2024. And the reason why I'm interviewing him is so we can set the record straight and let people know that he was truly falsely accused. He's actually a Trump supporter.
Is this another acting job, you figure? Because I don't know anything about it. What do you
know? You know something? I look at this and I can see this actually happening. Because cops are like that.
Okay.
Dirty cops are like this. So I can believe that this happened. Want to hear his side of it? Go ahead.
This 40 minutes. I'll have
and
to
so
watch
you know
another time.
There's a
how
shorter one.
The biased liberal media is,
okay.
And how an overzealous police force.
For a shorter one. Hold on. Who's it with?
Van Miller.
I know, but who's doing the interviewing?
Oh, I don't know, but they're not making themselves the center of attention the way this guy is. I mean, Everybody's got a grift off this Vem Miller story, so. But I can tell you what happened. I mean, he explains what happened. Okay. He says he drove into the parking lot. He got stopped routinely, like I guess all cars. And I think they might have been, it might be here. I don't know.
Welcome back in year two, live now from Fox. I'm Andy Mack. Thank you so much for joining us. We're following some breaking news right here on Live Now from Fox. As a California sheriff.
A real person? This guy is odd looking. Wow. Man, Fox has got some strange looking people.
Saying that a third assassination attempt against the former president was thwarted in California just this week. And I do want to put up just this post here on Live Now from Fox and the New York Post, saying a third Trump assassination attempt thwarted when an armed man arrested outside of the Coachella rally this weekend.
Well, that's no good. Is this better?
California authorities arresting, then releasing a man who had two guns outside a Trump rally.
Now, that suspect has since denied the local county sheriff's claims that he was planning to assassinate the former president. Good Day's Robert Moses, he joins us live from Midtown with the latest on this situation and also the race for the White House. Robert, good morning.
Shawnee and Dan, good morning to you. In an interview with Fox News Digital, this suspect described himself as 100% a Trump supporter. At this point, he faces no federal charges, a little more than 3 weeks before Election Day.
With 22 days to go until Election Day, both former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris descend on Pennsylvania, a battleground state that each views as a...
Is that it? I guess that doesn't help.
Yeah, look. They make it impossible to actually see the interview with Vem Miller because he says what happens.
Okay, I'm trying to find it here.
And by the way, I don't think this was entirely fake.
Okay.
Some of these sovereign citizens got an attitude, and their attitude is if they're driving cross country, they can carry guns in their car as long as they're locked in the trunk.
Okay, I'm pretty suspicious of this one. What's everyone say that?
Well, what happened is this. Here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say you drive to a rally, and maybe you forgot that you got a firearm locked in the trunk.
Well, come on. Okay.
The cops stop you and say, they start asking you questions. Oh, you got an out-of-state plate. Where are you from? I'm from Nevada. He had a kind of hinky license plate. And hinky paperwork, because he's a sovereign citizen. You know all that crap.
Yes.
So right away, the cops figure, oh, we're going to pick on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give him a lot of shit. So they probably asked him, do you have any firearms? And he said, yeah, I got firearms locked in the trunk of the car.
Totally legal.
Right. Now, these deputies and sheriff could have done several things. They could have said, go home, take them out of the trunk, put them in your house and come back, or leave them with us, or, well, he wasn't even going to, you know, you got to park your car 5 miles from the rally.
Today on Tipping Point, was President Trump really nearly assassinated at his rally in Coachella, California last week? The man accused of such a heinous crime, Vem Miller, is here to set the record straight and to tell his side of the story. Plus, Dinesh D'Souza joins us to talk about his amazing new film and book, Vindicating Trump. And finally, the CEO of a sticker company who led up a giant vote for Trump's...
Okay, we're not getting it there. Okay.
No, they were going to interview him. Give it to
me. That was 30 seconds. It was already over.
Is that the week prior to Democrats are burnt. Basically, listen to this.
Good morning, everybody. Let's lead with the lead, as they say in journalism. If the early vote numbers stay the way they are, and that's a big if, we'll almost certainly know before Election Day who's going to win the election. We're going to talk a lot about that. The reasons, make no mistake, like talk about
yeah, forget all this. I'm Harris. Telling you what happened, okay?
Okay, go ahead. Here's
you don't need him to explain it. He says to the cops, yeah, I got firearms in the trunk of my car. Man, it's so frustrating because I know how cops are. Oh, we got an assassin. That's exactly what they did. These stupid fucking cops.
Okay.
They gotta be the stars of the show.
TCL Media says, why continue with the fake shootings? The whole thing is ridiculous. I agree.
He had firearms in the trunk of his car.
So what?
That's how he became the third assassin.
I know. That's all baloney, though.
But he's suing him. He's suing these guys. And
let's see if the lawsuit makes it. Let's watch for it in real life. But obviously, the first two were... The first one was the big fake psyop. The second one barely got any attention. Right. And this is the third one. It was even less. I didn't even hear
this is one. What I think happened here is I don't think this is part of the plan. I think this is more stupid, dumb cops.
Yeah. Uki wants you to calm down there, Lynn. Uki wants you to stop yelling.
Yeah, these are the cops. I'll tell you what.
Okay, take it
easy.
These
are the same cops that 10 years ago would have busted me for having cannabis.
Okay, you're ranting against the cops now.
Damn right I am. They're all Sandy Hook liars.
Okay, I gotcha. Hold on a sec. We got PTL in the thing. Wilbur Ross. Yeah, Wilbur Ross was the sheriff that is down there.
Bianco
in,
was his name. Bianco, I think. Riverside County. His name is Bianco. And they all ought to be fired. If I lived in Riverside County, whatever, I'd be furious at these bastards. I'd want them all fired. Not just because they spread a ridiculous rumor about an assassination attempt that didn't exist, but because they're not on the job protecting the public, which is what they're paid to do.
Hey, Lynn, do you like punk rock?
I don't know. I used to listen to punk. Yeah, I've watched this video.
Have you ever heard of John Joseph? I never heard
of him. Yeah, but you know, the guy has such a he had a criminal background. I mean, come on.
He's a victim. Come on, Lynn.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, I'll recommend Germ Warfare. He's another one of the guys I really enjoy. He was on my show.
I mean, look, I know people want to think that this Vem Miller business was some stage psyop. No, it wasn't. It was just stupid, asshole cops.
I know, you made your point.
Asshole bastard cops.
Well, he's... yeah, okay. He's... Okay, this is Germ Warfare. Play a bit of this. I really love it. Germ Warfare's got a really rocking intro there. I actually really like it. Technologist needs a
my name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas. John Joseph, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
This guy is a real sort of an old punk rocker. Yeah. I thought he was given some pretty good truths about COVID.
Yeah, he understands what's going on. He's got a good analysis, I thought. Yeah.
It was pretty good. He goes on to the mainstream alternative point of view on most psyops, but I think he was pretty close to the fakeologist point of view. So I would recommend listening to this if you're an old punk rock person. Anyway, he's also a Hare Krishna. So I found that kind of odd, very odd.
Well, people are entitled to their religion.
Oh, yes, they are.
Is that any more odd than Christian holy rollers and snake handlers?
Yeah, not really. Another one I posted was this George Carlin, because on FakeoTube audio, sorry, on the Fakeologist audio chat on the weekend, we were talking about the owners, how the owners really call all the shots. And because the United States has been bankrupt at least three times, the third time was in 2001, it's the creditors that run the corporation of the United States. So the president is really just answering to the owners. So we got down on a discussion about the owners, who really owns the place. And then we remembered this George Carlin, famous couple of minutes, I think, before he disappeared off the scene. Do you remember this rant about they own you?
I remember it's a big club, but you're not in it.
That's part of the rant. Let me just play a bit of it.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners.
I wish you would. Oh, maybe he does name them.
Wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club and you ain't in it.
That's a good one. And yeah, that's why they want all the migrants in, because they're good workers, obedient slaves, and they don't ask for overtime.
Cheap labor. Cheap labor. Very
absolutely compliant. Cheap labor. Yeah. Who was I listening to that said those exact words? Cheap labor. I've been watching so many videos lately. It's
but look, hey, let's be honest about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
20 years ago,
yeah,
or longer, I remember reading, we went through something called Nanny Gate. This was during the Clinton administration.
Okay.
The Clinton administration was looking for women, high-profile women, to appoint to the cabinet. And in particular, they were looking for a woman to appoint to be America's first female attorney general.
Oh, Janet Reno.
That's who they ended up with.
Yeah.
She was not their first pick. There was a Zoe Baird. There were about two or three of them. And every time Clinton put forward a name, they had to withdraw it because it turned out that the nominee had an illegal alien.
All right.
Usually working as a nanny, as a maid, as a gardener.
Nanny gate.
Right. And the Republicans were tracking this down and saying, who works for Zoe Baird? And who was the other one? Zoe, I forget. There were two Zoes who they nominated. They had to withdraw the nominations. And in the course of this discussion, and so it became clear that elites, especially Washington elites, they love the cheap illegal labor.
Manny the nanny.
So yeah, it came to be called Nanny Gate.
Yeah, Nanny Gate.
But there was this was happening within the context of a larger process. The state of California, essentially, regular Californians decided they loved being able to hire Mexicans cheap to mow their lawn, to be nannies for their kids, to do roofing for them, do cheap construction labor. Basically, the people of California decided, ordinary people decided, that they could take advantage of this cheap labor. And therefore, they allowed it. It was just a way of life. Just a way of life. You had a Mexican who you paid cash under the table to mow your lawn or to do your gardening. Or if you had a maid to come in, you know, cheap Mexican labor. So cheap that ordinary, not just for the rich. That's what came out during Nanny Gate, that these privileged government officials who Clinton was nominating, women who Clinton was going to nominate to be attorney general.
Zoe Baird, Kimba Wood.
Kimball Wood and Zoe Barrett, I think, both ran into this problem.
Yeah.
So, what am I saying here? I'm saying, hey, America, don't pretend that you didn't vote for this. Don't pretend that you didn't like the idea of being able to hire cheap labor yourself. Don't pretend you didn't like the idea of paying lower prices for certain services or commodities if they were harvested by cheap Mexican labor. Don't pretend hypocritically that you didn't allow this situation to evolve, because that's what's happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened. So, you know, I've done a screen share just before we let this Vem Miller thing go, because I want to see where this guy's lawsuit goes.
Okay, it'll go nowhere, but right. Go ahead.
This was the picture. What the hell is this sheriff doing wearing his uniform or whatever, his stupid Stetson hat? I can't stand that when they wear that cowboy hat.
In California, no less.
Yeah, whatever.
Texas.
But there he is. You understand he's one of these political types.
Yeah, well, sheriffs can be political.
Yeah, but not making up a phony assassination when you should be out doing your job. He claims in the court documents that the sheriff knowingly made delusional claims that he had saved the former president.
I'd like to see these court documents.
That he had saved the former president from an assassin, despite being told beforehand by federal authorities that they did not consider Mr. Miller a threat. So what happened was, the sheriff, the Fed said, just let him go, or tell him to go home, or do this. No. They had to turn this into a narrative. And you see, that's the crisis actor. That's the crisis actor mentality. Oh, I got a chance to be a star. Remember the Army, Army enlisted man that Trump went down to the El Paso Walmart shooting. We covered that, didn't we?
Yeah. Phil went down there.
Oh, how Trump was.
Was that Walmart or Target? Oh, no, that was another one. There was a Target shooting in Dallas that Phil went to. Yeah, El Paso Walmart was a different one.
Yeah, and one of the heroes, he went a little too far. He claimed he had saved some kids' lives. And then the cop said, no, he wasn't involved at all. But meanwhile, Trump had gone down and given this guy a medal or something.
Oh, you did a story on this.
Yes.
The president is crisis actor in chief.
Right. And the whole thing was, this soldier may have had a minor part in the whole drama, but he insisted on being a star. He wanted to be a hero. And so they ended up suiciding him, even after the president came down to do a televised appearance with him and I think give him a medal. Mr. Bianco, Sheriff Bianco, they won't say, claimed afterwards that he had prevented a third attempt on Trump's life. Mr. Miller, who lives in Las Vegas and runs a news outlet
that
pushes
called?
Conspiracy theories.
Oh, what is it? I love to see it.
Claimed he was setting himself up as a heroic sheriff, quote unquote, who had saved the life of the former president. Oh, is that Russell Brand? So this guy, Vem Miller, has appeared with Russell Brand. Look at that.
Doesn't that confirm that this guy's just another actor?
I don't think he came there looking to do a performance.
I don't know. I'm giving that one a definite staged event. What's his website? I wonder.
I don't know, but as far as I'm concerned, the sheriff is the one guilty here.
Okay.
If Miller came and said, hey, I got firearms locked in my trunk, they could have sent him home. They could have confiscated the firearms and said, go out to the rally. We'll give them to you when you come back. They could have done any number of things. They were the ones who turned this into an assassination narrative, not Vem Miller. They were the ones who made this a big news story.
This must be his website, because how many they picked a guy that has a name that's really not common or duplicatable. It must be this guy, huh? Vem Miller. I don't know. Very strange name.
Yeah. You know,
he's an investigative journalist. Okay.
I'm saying, He could have been the best crisis actor in the world, but he wasn't the one who made this. That sheriff and his deputies made
underwear this happen. Assassin? Are you kidding me? This is his?
Well, now he's going to try and get some publicity off of
it. No, this is old stuff. I'm trying to bring it up on YouTube, and it doesn't even
come
up.
So are you saying they busted him because they didn't like his website?
I have no idea. I'm saying he's complicit. It's not even loading. The Killing Club. Look at all. These are all his? I don't understand. He's a producer, a documentary maker.
It doesn't matter.
He's in the media.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
He's some nutcase citizen. Who cares? You don't want to hold the cops responsible for their incompetence and their corruption, do you?
No.
Why is everybody so eager to protect
these cops? I'm not protecting anybody.
It's their job to behave sensibly and responsibly.
Well, yeah.
Yes!
He's a Hollywood cop, that guy, I guess.
Well, I don't know. He's collecting a salary there in Riverside County. I'm going to say it again. I want to defund these bastards.
Anyway, I
want
to
defund the cops. Defund the fake police.
Oh, I see. Vim Miller's YouTube channel got suspended, I guess. So, okay.
Right. Yeah, I do. People are saying I'm kind of ranting and.
Well, you're loud. You're loud. You're loud.
Get out over cops. I hate dirty cops.
I know.
Stand them.
Okay, what else we got in the chat?
I can't stand them after Sandy Hook. I can't stand them after the Boston Marathon.
Crazy. Kevin Mooring says it's crazy that Lynn can't see. It's a gaslighting theater. I'm with you on that.
Sure, it's gaslighting theater, but they're being paid. And we're counting on them to protect us. Supposedly. That's the difference.
I agree, Ryler. Elvis had a lip that curled. So does Trump. That's what I was trying to get at. Has anyone else noticed that? Well, I guess Ryler's noticed that. Yeah.
Good. Hey, look, next time a cop pulls me over, I'll just laugh and say, hey, it's just theater.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay.
How about that?
No, they're not all in on it.
Oh, no?
No.
Well, then they're stupid.
No, come on.
Then they're fucking stupid. Don't tell me they're not in on it.
We're not anti-cop here.
Uh-huh. You're afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah. You're another one.
I'm not afraid.
Afraid of the cops.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah, you're all afraid of the cops. No. I'm not afraid of the cops. I'm not afraid of the FBI. I'm not afraid of the CIA. I'm not afraid of these people.
All right.
I'm going to call them out for the liars, the scum, and the criminal traitors that they are.
Who are you going to call when your house is being broken into?
I don't expect, I'm certainly not going to call the cops. You know how many weapons I got here?
Okay, take it easy. Hey, I want
somebody
point
does.
Anyone to,
listen, you just gave it away. You said, who are you going to call?
Exactly. Who are
you? Oh, you're going to call the cops. You're going to call 911 and wait a half hour for them to show up.
Okay, everybody, shorts.fakeologist.com before we go. I got Toby on here. I put a couple videos that I don't post on the main site.
Couple things I'd like to cover.
Okay, get them over with quick there.
Okay, first
wrap up after an hour.
The incident in Amsterdam, the riots, the soccer riots in Amsterdam.
Oh, okay, you got anything
making
on?
Headline news around the world now.
Did you post this anywhere?
Yeah.
Okay, where do you got it?
It's in a Clues forum. Let's see. I'll go down.
Ecologistforums.com.
All right, you ready? Let me share
it. Go
right.
ahead, share it up. Here goes Lynn. You posted on the Fakeologist forums.
Yeah.
Okay, you said Clues forum.
I'm sorry, it's Fakeologist forum.
Thank you.
Israeli hooligans acting out in Amsterdam. So we don't have time to play all the videos. We could play the videos. But let me tell you what happened here. And I can't believe the Israelis did this, because there had to be IDF soldiers in that crowd. But they sent a bunch of soccer hooligans to Amsterdam for some soccer competition. I don't follow soccer. And they were singing songs like, there are no children in Gaza because we killed them all.
Are you kidding?
You can watch the videos. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
And even worse.
So these crisis Israeli soccer actors or what?
Well, they're people who the Israelis flew in as soccer fans. During the game itself, there was a moment of silence for the victims of the flooding in Valencia, Spain. Now, Spain, as it happens, has their parliament decided they were not going to sell weapons to Israel anymore. And I think they may have been critical of Israeli activities in Gaza. But one way or another, there must be anti-Spanish feeling in Israel. Because while this whole stadium was supposed to be observing a moment of silence for the victims of the flooding in Valencia, the Israelis all started hooting and hollering and making all kinds of noise. So from the word go, they did everything possible to alienate people. And then, out on the streets, if someone was hanging a Palestinian flag from their window, they climbed the wall, they climbed up and they pulled it down. They attacked. I guess Amsterdam does have some Arab immigrants. They attacked a taxi cab driver and bashed up his cab. They just behaved and they started causing trouble. And so within a day or two, word got out and there was a reaction. And taxi cab drivers showed up and massed a protest because one of them had been beaten by the Israelis. And the Dutch police circled around and protected the Israelis so they could get on their bus and go to the... Look, this is something they started. They provoked it. And it's true. The Netherlands does have an immigrant issue with Middle Eastern immigrants. But in this case, they brought these Israelis here to provoke a riot. Because if I were sending 1,000 Israelis, soccer fans, to Europe for a big game, I'd actually get them all in one big auditorium first and I'd say, hey, you guys, behave yourselves. Because the world's looking at us now.
All right.
What's going on in Gaza? We're the center of the world's attention. So you behave yourselves. You be polite. But that's not what they did.
You got the opposite.
They sent them there to trigger riots. And then they said, oh, we've got to fly in the IDF to rescue them and get them out of here. And this is what the Israelis would like to do. They would like to start riots between, I don't know, people who sympathize with the Palestinians.
Hey, play the video.
Let's see.
Yeah, you got to click on the video on YouTube.
This is absolutely wild.
Yeah, he takes too long.
Is no longer a fit.
Hooligans, again, stayed just before the game.
Really have turned the world on its head. The point...
Change your... share the other web browser page so we can see the video. Just change the tab.
Right.
So this is on Fakeologist Forums at fakeologistforums.com. Make sure you guys check it out. Lynn is a big poster over there. Probably the biggest poster right now over there. So check it out, fakeologistforums.com.
Important about this is this. Here's what's important.
Yeah.
Forget the riot. There are always soccer riots. And forget the incredible arrogance and hubris of the Israelis in deliberately sending a crowd there to start 2 or 3 days of rioting in Amsterdam. Forget that. The real story here is that Sky News, which I guess is headquartered in Australia, they issued a news report accurately reporting how all this started. And then almost immediately, within a few hours, they pulled it completely and replaced it with a completely different report and a different title. And everyone said, oh my God, you're faking the news again. And then they pulled that and put out a third one. So the idea is Sky News has now been caught doing fake news.
...have been arrested for what happened. Supporters of Israeli football club Maccabi Tel Aviv arrived in Amsterdam ahead of their UEFA Europa League match against Amsterdam club Ajax. On Wednesday, social media videos verified by Sky News show Maccabi fans.
You got on mute, Lynn.
You can see they're pulling down Palestinian flags. That's private property they're assaulting there. So they did a lot of property damage. They assaulted people. It's like,
you think they were
really weird? Like, what the hell do the Israelis think they're doing?
Flown in for the purpose, yeah.
And they think that they can now say, "Oh, we were victims. We were attacked. This is a pogrom." No one's buying it.
Good.
No one's buying it. They're cutting their own throats, the idiots. But this is what they want to do. This is what they want to do. So let's watch the rest of this.
Okay, just another bit.
Tearing down Palestinian flags from outside of homes. Other social media videos appear to show residents chasing Maccabi Tel Aviv fans. On Thursday, just before
the
game, crowds of Maccabi fans
are carrying a Trump banner,
singing racist and
these fucking Israelis are carrying a Trump banner. Let the IDF win to fuck the Arabs.
While a pro-Palestinian demonstration had been banned by the mayor over fears there would be clashes.
No,
later that evening during the match, Israeli supporters appeared to disrupt the minute silence for Valencia flood victims with chants, whistles, and fireworks. Maccabi fans.
Right, this is when at the game they called for a moment of silence. And instead, the Israelis, they were incredibly disrespectful here. I can't believe it.
Why not? Sky News, why can't you believe it? It's obviously brought in their ancient provocateurs.
Yeah. But this is, the Israelis have this attitude. I can tell you all about them. From the 2 years I spent going to a labor Zionist summer camp.
Dwayne R. Bith says the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is the Orwellian perpetual war. A spectacle meant to antagonize everyone who gives their attention to it. I agree.
Yeah, you're right.
It really got your attention, Lynn.
It did, because I realize you're deliberately doing this to provoke people.
Fans were seen attacking locals as a police car can be seen driving
all right,
by.
Let's wrap it up, Lynn. We're just about an
people
hour.
People with Palestinian flags were seen
now,
marching
so
on the streets.
The show to an hour if we could.
So they think they can send 1,000 soccer fans, or I don't know how many thousand soccer. First of all, I thought the Israelis were in the middle of a war.
Oh, right, please.
What the hell are they doing sending thousands of soccer fans to Amsterdam, where they know there's a significant population of Middle Eastern immigrants, say?
In Spain.
What?
In Amsterdam, I mean. Sorry.
In Amsterdam, yeah. And they
Yeah, not a good idea.
And then march around, waving their, chanting their, singing their obscene songs, and it's just incredible. The song they're singing was, and I don't know, I'm assuming it was in Hebrew, it might have been in Arabic or Dutch, who knows? But the words were, kill the children, there are no children in Gaza because we killed them all. It's like, it's incredible to me. I just can't wrap my head around. These people really are racist. They just hate the Palestinians, period.
Yeah.
That's it. They just hate them.
The ones that are left.
Yeah, the ones that are left.
I don't think we're going to talk to Fake Nukes Phil tomorrow, and I'm sure he says that I agree with that Gaza's empty.
Well,
all right. Well, I appreciate you giving me some time off from my watching of YouTube, whether it be political, whether it be at the border. I'm just
by the way, this Sky News thing, like I say, this is why it's important. It's important now because everybody's calling them out. Of course, people knew that the news media, you know, lies. They knew that, but here's Sky News caught in the act of releasing a reasonably accurate news story. And then it's almost like a phone call came from Netanyahu to Sky News. And immediately they yanked the original story and put another one out there with a completely different spin. And everybody saw it. Everybody watched it happening in real time. So Sky News, big deal. It's Rupert Murdoch. They're exposed forever. And now people are going to start thinking, maybe who never thought before, about how phony the media is. They're going to
They're in their death throes as we started off this conversation tonight.
They are.
They are definitely on the way out. I think it was one of the sheriffs that I was watching that said the words cheap labor. That's what America is addicted to. Cheap labor.
Probably.
That's probably who I watch. I really enjoy it. I like these sheriffs on the border. Not so much your Riverside guy, but I like their talk.
Well, here's the thing. The lawsuit claims that the 49-year-old was not interviewed by the FBI or Secret Service after being taken into custody because they did not take the assassination claims seriously and did not believe that Miller was a threat. Nevertheless, Sheriff Bianco, they keep calling him Mr. Bianco, but he's Sheriff Bianco.
Yeah.
Continued to make preposterous allegations against Miller, holding press conferences, perpetuating his delusional and false narrative, the lawsuit alleges. So you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
These crisis actors, it's when they overdo it. They overdo it. Because they want to be part of the narrative. They want to be heroes. If you're asking me right now, I probably did have deputies that prevented the third assassination attempt, the Riverside County Sheriff said in a press conference on Sunday.
Oh, please.
He also said, and here's why they arrested him.
Mm-hmm.
He also said that Mr. Miller was arrested in possession of fake passports and appeared to be a member of an anti-government, quote, sovereign citizens group.
Well, they
claims
hate them.
Were labeled preposterous in the lawsuit. Now, Miller has filed this in his home state of Nevada. So let's see how far it goes.
I hope it goes well. Hey, Lynn, yeah, thanks for pinching in last Thursday for Frank. I appreciate that. And thanks, everyone on YouTube. We got 53 people on YouTube. Just to remind YouTubers, we do delete the video after, just because even though this is a little pipsqueak channel, apparently what we say can get us deleted. So it makes you wonder how a small channel like mine can have videos taken down, where big channels that are supposedly speaking the truth are left up with a million views. Just remember that YouTube still censors, so little guys like me that should have zero effect. If we say something like what Lynn's saying, we get deleted. So go figure on that. And don't forget, if you want a text message when I start the show, I usually send out text messages. Just send me a text at 810-666-1984 and I will add you. And also go to fakeologist.blog. And the pop-up will say subscribe to the blog, and you'll get an email when I start the show. Go to fakotube.com, sign up there, and you'll get an email when the Fakotube show starts. All our videos are on Fakotube. And Lynn, maybe next week I might be off. We'll see. But okay. We'll see what my schedule turns out. We'll keep you posted. Lynn, thank you for joining. Appreciate it.
Remember what I always say.
What's that?
ACASHL.
ACASHL. What's that stand for?
All cops are Sandy Hook liars.
Oh, you're starting a new acronym. I love it. All right.
Don't be wrong.
All right. Thanks for joining. Thanks, everyone. Don't forget, value for value. You pay whatever you think this show is worth. Thanks to the people that are contributing lately. I really appreciate it. At fakeologist.com/donate. And send us some Bitcoin. It's supposedly going to six figures in the next couple months. So if you want to send some Bitcoin, fakeologist.com/donate. All right. Take care, everybody.